Seattle traffic is awful, so let's fix it by ripping out I-5. So says our next guest, Doug Trum, senior editor at The Urbanist. He wants to remove I-5 from downtown Seattle between I-90 and 520. Trum says, number one, the road is in rough shape and the state can't afford to fix it. Two, the state could make a fortune selling that land to developers. And three, Trum says I-5 should never have gone through downtown in the first place.
And it could be replaced with something that would be a lot better. And there's a lot of different ways you could go, but it doesn't take much to be better than a freeway as far as an actual place rather than something that's only utilitarian and kind of ugly, actually.
We're going to keep I-5 for a while. Are you trying to turn us against it in the meantime? Keep it, but hate it. Keep it, but realize its costs?
Realize its costs. I don't want to tell you how to feel about it, but yeah, realize its costs. I mean, realize
that's
the costs.
That's where it begins,
that are
isn't it? You have to turn people against the status quo before they change it.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, a lot of people have probably done the walk from Capitol Hill down Pike or down any of the roads, you know, and you're not loving it at that point when you're inhaling the fumes and hearing the noise and it's in the way and you have, you know, the Paramount on one side and you have a bunch of, you know, great restaurants and nightlife on the other side, and you just want to get between the two. And you could almost imagine there being more of those destinations on the way as you're doing that. You know, it's about there being more destinations and less freeway trenches. There are obstacles. So, I mean, once you get away from this kind of windshield mentality, you know, you start...
Did you say windshield mentality?
Like a windshield perspective. You're only thinking about it as if you're in your car, not as if you're just a person on the street.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, I mean, I just generally, the more we think like that, the more we can make better cities because, you know, we do need there to be highways, but they don't necessarily need to go right through our urban core.
So we're talking about routing people around. Do you drive 405?
Occasionally, but
I understand it's slow now.
Yeah.
What would 405 be like without I-5?
Well, I think to understand this, you kind of have to think about induced demand, and I'm not a traffic engineer. So I couldn't tell you exactly what would happen, but the idea of induced demand is that by providing a viable option like that, like a really enticing option, a lot of lanes, you are encouraging people to drive. So the more lanes you add, the more people will drive, and it's kind of a cycle that you can never get to a comfortable point. Like you can't think of a city like Houston, for example, has some of the most highway lanes per capita in the nation, has freeway which is 20 some lanes wide. They still have really bad traffic, and it's the first thing they tell you when you get there. And, you know, so there's not really a strategy you can get to where you're like, I'm going to add lanes and lanes and lanes and lanes. It doesn't ever get you to that promised land of like, oh, now I can really get wherever I want to go in a really efficient manner, and I won't be frustrated and stop and go. It's inevitable. The bottlenecks will happen.
Okay, so we take out I-5, we take our medicine, we have to live a different way. And what's the great thing about it? How does Seattle become more wonderful without I-5 in the
middle? Well, it's kind of a blank slate. I talked about in my article about how much the land is worth. And obviously, you don't only want to look at it from a bottom line perspective. We've always been trying to find where can we put our kind of essential downtown park. And that'd be one place you could put it is somewhere that is currently consumed in a terrible place you would never want to be unless you had to be.
So parkland?
Parkland. It's two blocks from Columbia Center. So those places are desirable places for, you know, offices. And now we're seeing more apartments and things like that.
Money-making offices and apartments.
And some of it, I think, personally, should be social housing. And I wish the city was even more aggressive than it has been.
Social housing, affordable housing.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Doug, the voters would absolutely not put up with this, right?
Yeah, it'd be a tough sell right now, absolutely.
How do we get there?
I think as more people get comfortable with transit and, you know, not take driving to work alone, then people start seeing it as in their self-interest.
Now, your vision would obviously include mass transit substitute for I-5. So shouldn't you be waiting to say this until there's regional mass transit to...
I want people to think about it now because it's rare that you get an idea that someone proposes and the next day people go out and do it. Yeah, in 2023, it'll look a lot more maybe tempting for people, or they can maybe actually envision it happening. I know a lot of people probably think I'm crazy now, but when you have...
I don't think you're crazy. I'm listening, Doug.
When you have light rail to Bellevue and to the edge of Redmond in 2023 with the East Link, and you have light rail all the way to Linwood and light rail to Des Moines and Kent, and they think that the Sound Transit system will, just with SD2 carry 350,000 people per day, then it starts looking a lot more feasible.
It's so interesting because you look at I-5 as such a problem and maybe a toxin, and yet some people look at that same thing as their lifeline. Oh, they depend on I-5. What would I do without it? Even if they agree with all the stuff you're saying, it's a weird space to be in.
Yeah, I mean, and there'd still be a way to get from point A to point B. There'd probably be a city street replacing I-5, and admittedly, it would add minutes to your commute. But if we're only thinking about in terms of minimizing commutes, and I guess the highway engineer term is like level of service, then we're missing all the other things that we can do, whether that's adding a park or adding housing, some of it social housing, to try to make our city more equitable and decreasing the amount of pollution that's downtown where so many people work and live.
Every change has winners and losers. We've talked about some of the winners, the parks, affordable housing. Who's the loser if I-5 falls?
I guess probably the people who have conservative talk radio shows. I don't know. I like to think we all ultimately come out ahead.
Like all the commuters, you're going to trust me, you're actually going to be happier.
People are going to hate me, I'm sure. But I think, yeah, it's going to be minutes on some people's commutes if they're driving a car. But, you know, I think if it's part of a solution to really grapple with climate change, then think of it as a way that we can all continue to enjoy the earth not sucking, not being a lot warmer and part of Seattle being underwater. It sounds catastrophic, but I think we have to take the warnings we're getting kind of seriously that we can't keep going down the road that we're on now.
We can't keep going down the road we're on now, says Doug Trum. It's just words. For now, he's telling you about his vision for downtown Seattle without I-5. Trum is the senior editor at The Urbanist, and you can read his full argument at theurbanist.org.